This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Newton novelist Suzanne Burney recalls her father as an unhappy man, in part because his mother Lucille died when he was just a child. The older he got, the tougher it became for him to cope. Until, that is, Burney decided to write Missing Lucille, a biography about her late grandmother, the mother her father had barely known. Burney was curious to learn more about her mysterious grandmother, but she says it was her father's relationship with his mother that motivated her to take on this family research project.
Well, she died when he was 6 years old, and he grew up feeling that he'd never known his mother, and that it was a big, empty place in his life, that he felt that he didn't have a mother. And as he got older, he focused on this more and more, and in his last years, pretty obsessively. And I remember sitting with him in his apartment one afternoon where he was telling me again that he'd never had a mother. And I thought, you did have a mother, you just don't know who she was. And around the same time, my mother found a box of things in her garage, which I had collected from my grandfather's attic in 1973 when I was 12. But they turned out to all be things that had belonged to Lucille, like a charm bracelet, an annotated school book, and a packet of negatives. And I remember thinking, what if these are clues? What if these are directions I could follow to try to figure out who this woman was that my father has missed all his life, and who was a real person at one point who had a real life we just don't know anything about.
Now, because your grandmother wasn't someone who had done something so significant that there would be a lot documenting her life, it was difficult for you to figure out how to research your grandmother. So tell us a little bit about how you go about looking up information on someone who there's not a lot documented about because they were just a regular person. It was just your grandmother who's not alive anymore.
I tried to find her in the times she had lived through and in the places she had lived in. And that was interesting for me. I had come across a quote from Faulkner who said, "The past is not a diminishing road, but a wide meadow no winter ever quite touches." And I thought, well, she's out there somewhere in that meadow. I just have to try to find her. And it occurred to me that I could find her by the things that she must have been thinking about and caring about and been affected by. For instance, when she was at Wellesley College, there was a lot of speakers coming through and a lot of information coming her way about women's suffrage. She had to have been interested in that. And so I tried to find out about who those speakers were, what she would have been reading, what she would have been thinking about. I spent a lot of time in the Wellesley College archives looking into the courses that she was taking, for instance, the books that I knew she was reading. I read all 4 years of the college newspaper from 1907 to 1911 when she was there. So I knew everything from who was coming on campus to speak, to what they were eating, what they were wearing.
So you knew a lot, it sounds, like the framework of her life and the era that she lived in. But how much specific were you finding about your grandmother, and how much were you having to fill in the blanks with your own sense of what she must have been like at that time?
I was looking for whatever I could find that would tell me about her, and I did find some things. I found that she was captain of the running team for her year, which I'd never known. But I had to, of course, speculate and project quite a bit, given what I didn't know. And that actually became one of the things that was interesting to me about this project, is that I became as interested in what I couldn't know as what I could find out. And it started to seem to me that I was getting the best sense of my grandmother in a way when I was forced to admit that I didn't really know. And I realized that is maybe when we draw closest to people, when we recognize that there's a lot that we can't know and that we are going to be speculating about other people a good part of the time.
The book opens in December 1932. Your grandmother was 43 years old at the time, and she was dying of abdominal cancer. Now, you came across a letter she had written to an old college friend at the time, so that's what sets the scene of her in what basically turns out to be her deathbed. I think she dies a week after that letter is written.
Yes.
First, where did you find that letter?
In the Wellesley College archives.
What did she write? What was the scene she was setting from her deathbed?
Well, the funny thing was is that it was very calm. The letter is very practical. She's talking about the fact that Christmas is almost there and she hasn't really done anything, no shopping yet. She's worried about her friend who she thinks is working too hard. She talks about her household and the fact that her boys like school and that she hasn't seen the report cards yet. So it's a very measured, even letter. It's a letter from a woman who is determined to sound as if she's doing well.
You describe your father in the book. Your father's no longer alive.
Right.
But you said that when he was alive, that he was someone who, I think, as you put it, he sort of excelled at finding fault and criticizing. He spent a lot of his time being unhappy, versus his mother, your grandmother, had been a sort of a sunny, high-energy person. And you ended up attributing a lot of your father's unhappiness to not having had much of a relationship with his mother because she died when he was so young. Why are you so sure that the root of his unhappiness is that?
Well, I can only go by what he said. And he really believed that not having had a mother as he was growing up was the deficit of his life. And he talked about it quite a lot. He told us when I was growing up, he told us the story again and again of how he learned of his mother's death. His father came to get him at an aunt's house where he was staying, and he said, "She's gone." And that's all my grandfather said. And my father would repeat again and again, "He said she was gone, but no one ever said where." And I actually think he was waiting for her to come back for quite a long time. And I think a lot of his focus on her being gone was later angry. You know, how could she have left without even saying goodbye? It was just, it ended up affecting his relationship with his children and with other people. And I also think he missed the opportunity to find out about this woman who had been his mother, who was a very interesting person. I think she'd gone to college at a time when a lot of women didn't go to college. She later went to France as part of a Wellesley relief unit right after World War I to help with the Reconstruction. That was a pretty gutsy thing to do in 1919. There was a lot to find out about her. And when I started working on this project and sharing some of the things I was finding out about his mother with my father, he was surprised and so interested, and his relationship to her started to shift.
But also his relationship with you.
Yes.
This ends up becoming almost, I think, an accidental part of the book. There's a point where you talk about this, and I wonder if you would read this part for us.
Yes. "So many pieces now, the clues are adding up. And yet I find myself reluctant to begin writing this last chapter. I suppose I don't want to let go of Lucille now that I've discovered her. But have I? Who is this woman with whom I've spent almost 250 pages, half imagined and half what else? She has become a familiar and empathic companion, gazing out at me from photographs scattered across my desk, enduring my speculations. And my father and I haven't had so much to talk about in a long time. For much of the past 20 years, our phone conversations tended to be hesitant and self-conscious, confined to movie reviews, whatever politician was currently under indictment, and whether or not it was raining. Yet now, when it's almost too late, we once again share a life in common of great interest to us both."
So suddenly you and your dad had things that you wanted to talk about together. How did that change your relationship with your dad?
Well, I really was interested in what he remembered of his childhood. I was interested in finding out about other members of his family who he had known, who were people Lucille, his mother, was connected to. And I was interested in telling him things that he didn't know about his mother. I remember saying to him one day when he was again telling me that his mother had not cared about him, I said, "You know, she was more than just your mother." And he was so surprised. I think that that really started to shift his feelings about her. I think it really started to fill in what had been a negative space for him.
Now, you also found out that it seems your grandmother had an affair. Did you tell your dad that? I can't remember.
Yes. When she was in France, I know she met a French officer who was in charge of a German POW camp down the road from the village where she was stationed. And according to some letters that I found, there was a romance of some kind. She was still a single woman, and everyone in her unit was single. She was about to turn 30, and my father was delighted to find out.
Why?
I think it humanized her. It it explained possibly what she was abstracted by. He always thought of her as distracted or remote, and I think he liked thinking that she was maybe distracted by memories of a love lost. I don't really think that that's probably what she was distracted by, but he loved the idea that she was in France falling in love with someone, and I loved that idea too, frankly. Who wouldn't?
I don't want to give the book more meaning than you intended it to have, but were you hoping that people would take away some lesson about how we remember people who lived before us, or should we be saving more of the things of people who left before us? Was there any message of that kind?
Well, I didn't write this book thinking about it as a message-based book, but I suppose I would say that if there is a family member who seems to be missing, seems to be only a face in a photo album, and a lot of people have family members like this where they get the sense that if this person had not vanished, either because they died young or they disappeared from the family in some way, that the family itself might be different. If there's some compelling reason to wonder about this person, I would say go ahead. And I'd also say that the minute you start wondering about someone, they're not altogether missing anymore.
Suzanne, there's also a part in your book where, this is early in the book, where you are talking about why you decided to write about your grandmother. And you say, not that Lucille ever did anything truly remarkable during the time she had, especially compared to the achievements one has come to expect from people who are subjects of biographies. Nor did she do any of the outrageous, destructive things we have come to expect when achievement is not the biographical point. She was an inconsequential figure in the way that most of us are inconsequential, meaning that we matter only to a few people. And you say this in this paragraph, but really, most of us are inconsequential. This just happens to be someone you decided to write about. I mean, there's so many people that could have been a subject of this book. You know, it made me realize that most people ultimately don't matter, but this was a person you plucked out of history and decided to write about.
Well, I would say that everybody matters in that everybody, A, matters to their own family, but B, matters in terms of being at the center of a kind of historical spider web of their own. Through looking into my grandmother's life, I suddenly felt connected to events that had seemed quite remote and impersonal to me. Women's suffrage, for instance, World War I. These were things I knew about but had no personal connection to as far as I knew. When I realized she had lived through those times and been affected by those events, all of a sudden history opened up to me in a way it never had before. And I think that's one of the values of looking into people in your own family past, particularly grandparents. I think history becomes most transparent when you have some relationship to it.
Suzanne Burney, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.